Good morning and welcome to worship. A special welcome to our worship guests, some family and visitors. It's nice to have you in God's house and to be able to worship with you. We are in the season of Pentecost, during which we thank God for the growth that the church experiences through word and sacrament. Today we have a very special and unique opportunity to thank God for and to celebrate the victories that God won through a faithful servant of the word, through our own Pastor Waterstrat. So we praise and thank God for his service, not only among us, but also his service among God's church and the great things God has done through his ministry, through word and sacrament. The order of service that we'll follow as we worship and celebrate today is printed for you completely in the service booklet for today. Our opening hymn for this morning is hymn 242. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 4 in the service booklet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love him and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sin to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Let us
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, you have always given your church faithful shepherds to feed and nourish your flock. Grant that all pastors may rightly preach your word and administer your sacraments, that your people may be guided in the way that leads to eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The gospel has always been the good news from God to his people. Through the prophet Isaiah, it was the good news that God would bring his people back to the promised land after their captivity. It was the good news that their sins are forgiven. It remains the good news today, and how beautiful are the people who bring the good news to us. The first lesson is recorded in Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 84. We'll sing it according to the directions in the service booklet. St. Paul always put high emphasis on the Word of God, and it was the fact that it was God working through him that made his ministry. You who have been served by Pastor Watershed have that same confidence that his ministry received its power from the Word of God, and therefore is powerful and effective among you. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. John, chapter 21. To equip his ministers, Jesus loves them, forgives them, gives them a purpose, and the powerful word to carry out that purpose. This lesson will also be the basis for Pastor Watershed's sermon this morning. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
He is my heart. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, as the book of 1 Samuel opens, things are looking pretty bleak in Israel. The high priest at that time was a man by the name of Eli, and he had grown old and weak. The care of the sanctuary had, for all intents and purposes, fallen into the hands of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Wicked men, we're told in Scripture, who had no regard for the Lord. Yeah, they were the ones who were given the charge of caring for Israel spiritually, and they were wicked men who had no regard for the Lord. Offerings that were brought to God that were to be placed on the altar were pillaged by Hophni and Phinehas. They helped themselves to the finest cuts of meat, and if somebody resisted them, they took it by force. And their immorality was notorious. They were terrible. And Israel tolerated their wickedness, and as they did, they fell away from the Lord. They were being led by wicked men, and they were being led away from the one true God. So the Lord said, or actually we're told in that section of 1 Samuel, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This was God's judgment on Israel for tolerating these wicked priests. He took away the light of his word to let them wander in the darkness that they seemed to prefer. And there's a pretty powerful warning sign there for all of us still today. Because it's easy for you and I to think, well, we've got God's word in printed form now. Bibles are everywhere. They fill the church. They fill the school. Got one on my coffee table and one on my nightstand at home. Thankfully, the word of the Lord can't become rare anymore today. Not here in Citrus Heights. But that isn't accurate. In Samuel's day, the word of the Lord was becoming rare, or was rare, because God just wasn't speaking that much. In our day, the word becomes rare when there are problems on the receiving end. It happens a lot. God's word is abundant. We can read it any time we want, but so often there it sits on the nightstand or the coffee table, untouched, unused, unheard, unlearned. It's not that, I don't think it's that we intend to ignore God's word. It's just that we let our priorities get all out of whack, and then you know how it goes. Yeah, I know I should be in church every Sunday, but I'm so tired at the end of the week. Yeah, it would be a good thing if I got involved in one of those great Bible studies at St. Mark's, but I'm just too busy. Yeah, it would be a great idea, a real blessing if I started each day off with a devotion, but I've just got too much to do. And so we wander. The word of the Lord becomes rare for us, and things become darker as we stray from the Lord. To put it very bluntly, when it comes to hearing the word of God, there's no room for your butts. That's one T, not two. To put it a little more precisely, repent, because neglecting God's word is sin. Pure and simple. Thank the Lord, though, that at the beginning of 1 Samuel, God was going to change things. He was raising up a man, a faithful prophet, who would proclaim God's word to God's people. And here's the really neat thing about it. It wasn't because the children of Israel were so great. It wasn't because they had repented. It wasn't because they had changed their ways. It was because God loved them. And he wanted to speak to them. And here's the real great news for you today, and one that you might just, a little bit of information, you might just want to write down, although you know it very well. God loves you. And he wants to speak to you too. God hasn't changed his ways much. He sent the prophet Samuel to proclaim the word to his people. And in our text for this day, which you heard from the lectern just a few minutes ago, he was commissioning another man to head out and share that gospel message. Listen to those words again. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Man, that is a powerful section of Scripture. And you know why? It's because of the history between Jesus and Peter. It hadn't been but a matter of weeks, probably, earlier. Jesus had gathered in the upper room with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed. He celebrated the Passover with them, instituted the Lord's Supper, and that night he made the accurate prediction that all of his disciples would fall away on account of him that night. They were all saddened, but Peter insisted it wouldn't happen. Even if he was the last one, he even promised Jesus, "If I have to die with you, Lord, I will." Hours later, he broke that promise. In the courtyard of the high priest, a man at that time whose name was Caiaphas, Peter denied that he even knew who Jesus was, not once, not twice, but three separate times. And then Jesus was carried away, crucified, he died, he was buried. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have gone through Peter's head until he knew that Jesus was alive again? I suspect he thought to himself, "God may not ever want me back. Maybe he doesn't even consider me one of his dearly loved children anymore." Peter had been a spokesman on behalf of all the disciples. I'm sure he wondered, "Will Jesus ever want me to speak for him again?" And then Jesus rose again, and I'm sure that Peter rejoiced, but there must have been some problem yet, because our Savior felt the need to speak to him one more time. They had been out fishing, some of the disciples. They came in, Jesus had prepared breakfast. Then they had this conversation. It was no coincidence that Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter had denied, and three times Peter got to say, "Yes, Lord, I do love you." And then it was interesting what Jesus did not say. I mean, Jesus could have said, "Yeah, you love me. Well, that's nice. I'll tell you what, though. I can't trust you. Your promises aren't worthwhile, clearly, so why don't you hit the road?" He did not say, "You love me? Okay, well, why don't you make me a sandwich? Because I think that's about all you're good for anymore." He said, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Nourish them spiritually, and do that by sharing with them what I have shared with you. Take my word to my people and care for them. By the grace of God." Peter, forgiven, reinstated. He did just that. And to this day, sinful men forgiven by Christ still go out to proclaim God's word to God's people. And for the last 48 years, 24 of which have been spent here at St. Mark's in Citrus Heights, that's exactly what Pastor Waterstrat has done. Feed my sheep. Bring my people to me. Let them hear my voice as you speak my word. Let them hear the promises that I have proclaimed. And how could it be any other way? Have you ever stopped to think about how preposterous the gospel really is? I mean, the things that Pastor Waterstrat has told you over the course of the last 24 years, would you ever dare to believe or even hope that they were true had God not said them first himself in his word? Could anybody ever come up with such a message? I mean, can you imagine somebody standing back and saying, well, I know that I'm in trouble with God. I have rebelled against his will every day of my life. So, Lord, would you please set aside your throne in heaven and the praise of angels and take on human flesh and blood and come down into this world and place yourself under the law that you gave me that I should have obeyed but never did, so that you can obey that law perfectly, living your life in lowliness and humility, all so that you can obtain a perfect record, a record of righteousness that you can give to me. And since my sins will still remain at that point, would you please take them all away in a way I can't even imagine, but take them all away from me, even those times when I let my priorities get so far out of whack that I didn't even take time to listen to your voice. Please take all those sins upon you. Place yourself under your Father's wrath. Look up to heaven and tell him to treat you the way that he should treat me. Would you please take my place in hell so that I could have a place in heaven around the banquet table of paradise? And as long as you're at it, send your Holy Spirit too, for I can't believe on my own. Have him plant the seed of faith in my heart. Nourish it every day. Keep it strong and keep me close until I'm safely at home in the glorious place that you personally have prepared for me. And until I'm there, please hear and answer all my prayers in just the right way, just the right time. And please make all things work out for my good. And please comfort me when I am sad and strengthen me when I am weak and never leave my side. Could you imagine anyone ever being so bold as to say something like that or to even think that it could possibly be true had God not first said it? Praise the Lord, he did. He did it all for you. And that is the wonderful message that God's faithful pastors have proclaimed, Pastor Waterstrat included. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is your home because Jesus is your Savior and God is by your side until you're safely there. I know that when Pastor Waterstrat, it's kind of strange to say Pastor Waterstrat. Around our place, we call him Dad. But when Pastor Waterstrat took a look at the worship folder for this week, he happened to notice the theme, more than just a pastor. And I know it made him cringe just a little bit. Because that's the kind of theme that makes a person wonder, wait a minute, what is this going to be about? Is this going to be about a man? Is this going to be about just some person? I mean, there is no faithful servant of the Lord who wants somebody to say a whole lot about him, least of all in this setting, in the house of the Lord as his people have gathered for worship. And no child of God wants to hear a sermon about a man, pastor or otherwise. But truth be told, Pastor Waterstrat is more than just a pastor. He is someone who has stood in your midst and pointed to the cross and the empty tomb and assured you, God is your Savior and heaven is your home. Feed my sheep, Jesus says. That he has done. People who do that, people who share the gospel with you, they are special and they are precious. They work tirelessly for you because they care for you and they take care of you. Their goal is to make sure that you are well nourished spiritually with word and sacrament. That's what they use. And all with the earnest prayer that not one single member of the flock would ever be lost. They preach the gospel. It's not difficult, you know that. Even a child can tell someone about Jesus. But a child's presentation of the gospel message is going to be a far cry from what a full-time called pastor should be able to share with his people. So pastors study, study, study. They work, work, work. They grow, grow, grow. They spend time digging into the Word. They want to grow closer to their Savior. They have regard for God. They love Him. They are His disciples. They are followers of Christ. And they know that the more they understand about the Lord, the better they'll be able to nourish and care for the sheep. They pray that the closer the Lord draws them to Himself, the closer He'll be able to draw you as they proclaim God's message to you. They bring you to Jesus. And then they pour themselves into every sermon, every Bible class, every lesson, devotion, every counseling session, all with the goal that you, members of the flock of the Good Shepherd, will not see the man, but will instead see Jesus. That's the goal. We may never know how many hours Pastor Waterstraat has poured into his ministry, but we know its result. For I think that were we able to poll every single person, every member, every Christian that Pastor Waterstraat has ever served, I suspect they might all say the same kind of thing. Pastor Waterstraat has been spending time with Jesus. He's been hanging out with Christ. And you know what? I think I have been too. More than just a pastor? Absolutely. You brought us to Jesus. And we thank Him that you did. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now join together in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is printed on page 11 in your worship folder.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God.
bring our offerings to the Lord, the congregation will be seated.
Your prayers have been requested for Madonna Perkins and Mary Radmanich, both of whom are in hospice care. Joy Malova, who will be undergoing treatment to treat her returning cancer. Marilyn Zolinardo and 5-year-old Rebecca Stanton, both of whom are recovering following surgery. We have been asked to thank God along with the Ross family. Kyler Ross's adoption was made final this last week. And also, we ask a blessing upon our worship, our celebration, and our fellowship this afternoon as we remember the ministry of Pastor Waterstraw. With those thoughts in mind, please stand for the prayer of the church. It's the response of prayer on page 12 in the service book. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth as it relates to everyone. Grant them rich measure, patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Madonna and Mary. As their bodies grow weaker, may their faith grow stronger. May you be there with your presence to comfort them and guide them. May you bless the friends and family that see them. Above all, assure them both that you are ushering them to the heavenly home that you have prepared for us. We also ask that you would give Joy Malova strength and courage as she undergoes another battle with cancer. We ask that you bless her treatment at the Cancer Center. Give wisdom and guidance to those who will treat her. If it is your will, we ask that you would give her another victory over her cancer. Remind her that she is your child and that all things will happen according to your will. We rejoice with you today, with one another today, that Marilyn and Rebecca's surgeries were successful. We ask that you give them continual healing and strength, especially be with Rebecca as she will be homebound for 4 to 5 weeks as she recovers from her surgery. Give her and her family patience and the strength to see Rebecca through her recovery. We also rejoice with the Ross family. Family is a gift from you. We ask that you would bless Kyler's adoption, that you would strengthen the family bond that exists in the Ross household, and we ask that you would bless them as they grow closer to one another by growing closer to you and your love through your word. Finally, dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank your glorious name that the word that was preached to us through Pastor Waterstrat did not return empty, but accomplished the purpose for which you desired, the salvation and edification of your people. We also ask that you bless our fellowship time this afternoon. May you look favorably upon our celebration of Pastor's ministry among us and his ministry in your kingdom. Please continue to bless Pastor and his family. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. Please be seated for the next hymn. Please stand for our closing prayers. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. This time I invite the congregational chairman to come forward to lead us in the farewell rite.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Pastor Ronald Waterstrat is retiring from his pastorate at this congregation. As we bid him farewell, we look to the word of our Lord for comfort, peace, and guidance. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are those who dwell in your house.
O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or stand in the seat of mockers.
His right is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the blessings you have given this congregation through the ministry of your servant, Pastor Ronald Waterstrat. By your Holy Spirit, give him grace, that by his example of faithful devotion to your word, that he may be a blessing to many. In your mercy, support and strengthen him in his life and grant him peace and blessedness now and forever through your Son, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Dear brother in Christ, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
be seated. A reminder that Pastor's celebration will begin at 4:30 over in the Parish Center, so please plan on attending that. And God's blessings to you. We have a whole afternoon to share more blessings with you, but it's nice to see you and your family. Thank you, Pastor David Waterstrut, for sharing God's word with us and assuring us of where we stand because of who our Savior is. We appreciate your service to us through the word. A couple of announcements. This weekend is the Red, White, and Blue Parade that goes through the streets of Citrus Heights. It goes right past St. Mark's, and St. Mark's is also part of the staging area. So if you need to be on campus on Saturday morning, just tell the officials that you need to get into church to do official church business, and they'll let you through. That shouldn't be a problem. So again, the parade this weekend, just let somebody know that you need to be on campus. And finally, this Friday is our teen lock-in. It starts at 7 o'clock and will go until 7 o'clock. Please bring $5, money for a movie, and money for a Starbucks in the morning. Please RSVP by Wednesday so that Doc and I can make those plans. Please visit with one another, greet one another before you leave God's house this morning.